Here we go. Today's message, winning, not whining. Can you say that with me? Winning, not, one more time, winning, not whining. All right? I've been in Christian church for 30 years, been, you know, pastoring, related some field here in the Christian ministry for 30 years. And I'm going to tell you something. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you don't whine. Unfortunately, most of the whiners I know are Christians. Okay? That's not God's plan for your life, excuse making. Are y'all listening or not? God's will for your life is not for you to be an excuse maker. And that's just not His plan for your life. We'll talk about winning today. Who doesn't want to be a winner? Say, I don't want to hang around with people that don't want to be a winner. I want to be with winners. Amen? At least I want to be around people who have that attitude. Amen? Might not always come in first place, but they want to, or they at least want to finish. Amen? Say, I'm going to be running with people. I'm going to be running like a block, and then we quit. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? Or playing with a football team. We had the Northport game the other night. There's four quarters in a football game. Got your first half, and you need a break. Then you got what's called a second half. And you can watch teams, their energy level, what have you, you know, down by a few points. What you see the energy level so often just die in the second half. Did you know that's not God's will for us to die in the second half? Say, y'all listening or not? So let's talk about it today, being a winner and not a whiner. Let's look at it. We've looked at a little series called Think or Not to Think, several messages. Sometimes you shouldn't think about certain things, especially things that have been in your past and you're moving forward. You've got to. And then what do you think? Message on that. Some stories that Jesus asked and us to think about. Winning the battle in my mind, that's really where it's going to take place. And if you want to be a winner, that's where it's going to happen, right there. And then last week, a message, say that with me, having the mind of Christ. And as I studied the mind of Christ last week and scriptures on the mind of Christ and the mind in the New Testament, especially from Philippians, I saw two things. It says I'm supposed to have the mind of Christ like Jesus had. And Jesus did not grasp for power. And so that's the first thing I saw. I will not grasp for power. Number two, I will not desire reputation. Not have a desire that people think well of me. And I really am all consumed with that, what people think of me. We ought to have a good reputation because we're doing the right thing, but not be some crazy desire that we have for people to look at us all the time. You understand? Yes or no? Okay, so I saw that in this passage about Jesus. Here it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When he came to this earth, he was born of a virgin, born in a stable. He didn't feel picked on. You understand? He didn't say, oh, look at me. God got to stay up there and I'm down here. I want to get back up there. He didn't do that. He didn't grasp for power. You understand? He had a mission. And he accomplished his mission. The second thing, he made himself of no reputation. You know, he didn't walk into the synagogues and go, hey, I'm the Son of God. Set up and listen. You understand? How many of you were born of a virgin and your daddy was God? He didn't ask for a hand raising everywhere he went. You understand? He didn't desire reputation. The Bible goes on to say, but he took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, we learned last week of having the mind of Christ that we can't grasp for power. We can't be a person that desires reputation. And this will be the outflow of the mind of Christ. I will serve others. I will be humble. I will be obedient to God. And I'll be obedient all the way where? To the end. See, not just first half. See what I'm saying? Your first half. I ran a block. No. Obedient all the way to the end. And the last little point we put on the screen last week was this. Say it with me. I will. One more time. Gosh, y'all got to help me this morning. One more time. I will finish because that's what winners do. Doesn't always mean you'll have the highest score, but it means you'll be a winner because you finish. You know what Paul said? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the what? Faith. And then he said, now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me in glory. Amen. So we want to talk about being a winner today. Being a winner today. Being a finisher and being a winner. Hope I've got your attention. This is not going to be that hard, guys. If you hang in here, it's going to help you. Winning and not whining. Why do I title it that way? Because I've spent my whole life talking to people. I talk to them all the time. There's so much whining out there. So much poor woe is me. It's one bad story after another. Somebody upping, one upping somebody else's bad tragedy to happen. Yeah, but. Okay, you win. You're the biggest whiner. It's sad that bad things happen in our life, and that is the story of our life after it's over. Okay, because bad things happen, we became a whiner and we had the right to whine, so we took it and that's who we are now. That's just not a good thing on your tombstone. You see what I'm saying? Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, let's look at it today. Winning, not whining. To be a winner, say this with me. This must be my... So, even though this is out of our little series on thinking now, we're into another little message today. But it really does have to do about what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. It has to be your attitude. If up here you've got in your mind, I'm a loser. If up here in your mind you've got, whining's okay because bad things have happened, so therefore it gives me the right to be a whiner the rest of my life. If that is up there in your attitude, you're not going to be a winner. Okay? So I've got to talk to you about attitude this morning. Let's talk about attitude today. It's been said about attitude, several things. Attitude. Say it with me. Attitude. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a what? Choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. Life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. But let's pop that screen right there. But here's what a whiner does. Life is 90% of what happens to them and 10% how they react to it. Did you hear what I just said? But a winner says this. Life is 10% of what happens to me, and it's 90% of how I react to it. A whiner says, I'm picked on. I think I said it 9 times. I tell you, 9-1's not a good odd, baby. You hear me? 9 coming back at 1 ain't too good. But if your head flips around and realizes that 90%, 9-1 is your attitude over that thing that's happened to you, you can win every time. You understand? Attitude. Let's talk about it. Great scriptures. Got a couple of passages today for you. Hope you stay with me. Don't go to sleep on this one, man. I'm telling you. Philippians 4, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. All the way through 13. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, say it with me. Think on these things. Those things which you both learned and you've received and you've heard, and Paul says you've seen in me, do. Paul could say that. Paul could say, look, I've had a hard life. I'm the chiefest of sinners, he says. If God could take a hellion like me, he says, and make a winner out of him, you can be a winner. And that's what he's saying. And the God of peace will be with you. Don't think you can't do it. That's what he's saying. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned. Don't feel sorry for me, he says. Listen, I've learned in whatsoever what state I am, that I'm in, therewith to be what? Content. Because of my attitude. You see what I'm saying? For so many of us, everything has to be, I mean, our ducks have to always line up in a row, or we get in a tizzy. Welcome to planet Earth. Okay, come on. Guys, that's not reality. And it's not the world's reality. They think church, for so many of us Christians, is so unrelated to the world. They think we're like little crazy people. And you know what? I've met so many people from churches that I agree with them. We live in the real world. We have real problems. It's okay. Let's show that we can overcome and we can win and we can still make it and we can get up and we can keep going. That's what the world needs to see, is answers. Like Paul said, as you see in me, do. I'm not telling you something, he says, that I ain't done. He says, I know both how to be abased. I know how to be as low as a low person can be. And I know how to be abound. Out of bound. I've been high. Everywhere and in all things, I've instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and suffer need. And in this great verse right at the end of it, we quote it all the time, but we forget all this other stuff that he just said. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. Attitude. Do you see it? Did you feel it in the Scriptures this morning? This is a winner's attitude. Paul was a winner. The Holy Scriptures, we have these Holy Scriptures because we can be a winner. God's will for my life is not for me to be a whiner. Say that with me. God's will for my life is for me not to be a whiner. Okay? You can never say that. You can never say it. And then what happens after you start whining like that, you're not just going to start blaming all your circumstances and everybody. It's going to end up with you blaming God. And then it's going to finally end up with you not even wanting to live. Isn't that pathetic or what? Say, but you have the right to not live if you don't want to. Why? Come on. We can do better than that, can't we? Say, come on. Winning, not whining. We're still talking about attitude. Let's keep looking. Attitude. Attitude. It's the real man of our true self. You can say what you want to. You can dress up any way you want to. You can smile, drive, or live wherever you want to. But at the end of the day, if I spend enough time with you, I'm going to know if your attitude stinks or if it's a positive attitude. You listening or not? You can't bling up a bad attitude. I'm going to tell you that right now. You hear me? But we try to Christian it up with all the extra Bible studies and all this, and I do this and I've done that. You can tell me who your favorite preacher is or whatever else. But I'm telling you what, listen, if you got a bad attitude, you got a bad attitude. Am I right or what? You know it's right. Come on. It's the real man of our true self. It's our best friend or our what? You have a bad attitude? That's a best your worst enemy right there. For you succeeding and being a winner. Attitude. It's more honest and consistent than our what? Words or our what? You can say what you want to. You can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. You know what Paul said? But if you don't have love, we're going to know it. I'm telling you what, we try to speech our attitude up, baby. This bad attitude, this losing attitude. And we try to spiritualize it and talk a Bible verse about it and everything. But at the end of the day, we're hearing your attitude loud and clear. A lot more than that speech you gave. You listening? Attitude. It's our outlook based on what? Past experiences. You can say it all day. You really don't have an attitude based on what's going to happen in the future because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Your attitude is based on what's happened in the past. And unfortunately, in the past, it's not all good. But it's life. And you can have a good attitude going forward regardless of what's happened in the past. Your attitude is based on what? Past experiences. Just think that through. I don't know if I lost you on that, but that's where your attitude comes from. Your past experiences. Okay? And we can't change our past. So we're going to have to learn how to have a good attitude and a positive attitude and the right kind of attitude and a winner's attitude, because we can't go back and change that. But what we can do is spend the rest of our life whining about that. Oh, you can do that because you know it, you know the details, and you get really good at the details, and you can even add a little stuff to the details, and it gets better over time. But you're not changing your attitude. Attitude, it's not content until it's what? Expressed. See, that's why you can tell my attitude, and I can tell your attitude, because guess what? Attitude's coming out. Attitude will never be content until it's expressed. People don't even have to, I'm going to just say it, people don't have to say something and you can tell they're pissed off. Excuse my language. Excuse me, listen to me. You can see it on their face. Their actions, the way their body language. Certain people can say, I love people. But let me say something to you. You don't have any body language whatsoever that's welcoming people into your space. You're putting off this attitude, excuse me, that says, you know, I don't like you. Are you hearing me or not? And see, that's on you. That ain't on me. And if I do that, that's on me. That ain't on you. I'm responsible because it's coming out of me. My attitude is going to come out of me. Amen. How many can see something in your children without them opening their mouth? Let me say something. How many can see a bad attitude out of your children without them saying squat? Say. Can you see it or not? Okay, but now we grow up and we don't think other grown people can see it out of us. Are we crazy? It's coming out, guys. It's not content until it's what? Now, a lot of times it does come out of our mouth. It come out, you know, what? You know, or just brooding and isolating yourself. You know? How many know how to make somebody feel really bad without saying a word? Can I see your hand? How many are really good at it? Case closed. Attitude draws people to us or drives people from us. But I don't understand. I told them I loved them. Yeah, but your attitude stinks. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but I bought them some perfume. It ain't flying, Jack. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Worst day every year is Valentine's Day, ain't it? Here, honey, I love you. Yeah, but your attitude stuck all other days of the year. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Attitude. It's the speaker. Boy, this is huge. It's the speaker of our present. But wait a minute. It's the prophet to our future. If you keep whining about your past experiences, it's certainly not good right now the way you're living and in your present mind, in the state of mind, but it's dooming your future. It's dooming your future. And as hard as it is to say I've got to take charge of my mind, my attitude, it's on me and nobody else, as hard as that is, the pain you've gone through, the struggle you've gone through, if you don't take charge of it, you're not just going to have a bad day. You're going to have a bad life. This is really important. It's huge. The real difference between winners and whiners is what? That's it. You can say what you want to. The difference between winners and whiners is attitude. I always like to win. I always like to have the best score. I always want to do that. That's part of who I am. Probably goes back to my sports upbringing, stuff like that. I always like to do that. Okay? But as I got older, that didn't change. I still wish the Vikings would win every game. Okay, Elise even wore purple today in honor of the Vikings. I really appreciate that. But anyway, the bottom line is, as I get older, and the stakes get higher. And it's not a game we're playing, but it's life. I've learned it's not about that score, who comes in first. It's about finishing. It's about not quitting. It's about not turning back. It's about not... It's about not disappointing people in my life. I want my daughter to always look into my face and think I'm the greatest man who ever lived. I don't care what happens to me. I want Kim to grow in love with me and to think I absolutely hung the moon. I'm just not willing to sacrifice that. You understand? But things happen and problems happen and people even give you a reason to quit and stop and they will understand. I want to finish. You hear me? I want you to finish. Come on. Come on. I want you to finish. Listen, it's not a game we're talking about now. This is real stuff. Okay? And we can whine and we can complain and we got a right to do that sometimes. I know it happens. Bad stuff happens and you need to talk about it and talk it out. I understand that. But sometimes you've got to forget those things which are behind. You've got to put those things in the past. You've got to be able to move forward and have a life. Or it will become the prophet of your future. Amen. Come on. Now, we've got about 10 or 15 minutes left, so hang in here with me. A winner's attitude concerning problems. I want you to see it. A winner sees problems as a challenge and as an opportunity to take them to the next level. That's a winner's attitude. That's why in sports I never minded playing a better team, a much better team. And if we got beat by the better team, I didn't like it. But I would rather get beat by a better team than to play a poor team all the time and beat them and think we're all that, and we're not. Playing somebody who's sorry. Does that make any sense? A winner sees challenges in life and struggles and problems as something as an opportunity to take me to another level. But a whiner sees problems, look at it, as a threat. As a threat. Which undermines my potential to be, to have, and to do, and to even need to get more. See, a winner looks at it as a challenge, as an opportunity to get better. A whiner looks at it as a threat. And you just think that through. You probably can think in your own life of yourself, or you can think of somebody in your life who lived life like that. They looked at you as a threat. They looked at other things like that as a threat. It's a whiner. Did I lose you? Something to think about. Stuff happens. Problems happen. Say it with me. Because, can we say that? Real simple thing I wrote. Stuff happens. Problems happens. Because, that's life. Does not give you a reason to whine and a right to whine. Huh? Look at stuff and problems and life as an opportunity, as a challenge to get better. Amen? And without getting into detail, the struggles in my life have made me a better man. The struggles I've gone through have been good for me. Have been good for me. And I could talk all day, and I might sometime in the future talk about how my problems have made me a better person. Did I like it? No. Did I want? No. I don't want any of that. But it happened. And with your help and God's help and His Word and His Spirit, I've become a better person. It's the truth. Nobody can argue with that. You can try to argue with me. I don't care what you say because I know it ain't true. I know I am. That's a blessing. Amen? How many can say that of your life? Problems in my life, Pastor, struggles in my life that hurt me, made me better. Can I see your hand? Testify to the Lord of His grace. That's good, man. That's a winner. Amen. Come on. Now, I want to close with some scriptures and some thoughts. Close don't mean done. Remember that. I have an adversary, the devil, who wants to knock me off course. That's the real problem here, too. See, when I give into that whining attitude, man, I'm just giving into the devil because he wants to knock me off course, and I'm just handing the victory over to him. He wants to knock me off course. I'm going to look at 1 Peter. I'm going to go back and look at verse 6, and we're going to pick up down through verse 10, but we're going to start with verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, but you're carry the what? As a lion walks about seeking whom he may what? Devour. He wants to eat you, eat your lunch. He wants to destroy you. Okay? And the most effective way for Satan, the enemy, to knock me off course is through my what? I know we think it's wild women, fellas. It ain't. It's attitude. You know, ladies, it's attitude. It's attitude. That's where he gets us. Okay, all those other things are just outpourings of attitude. Keep looking. Now, here's the enemy's plan. I didn't put on this one. Could give you tons if you wanted it someday, but we're going to just go with some points that I put together. The enemy's plan to to knock me off course. The enemy wants to derail my life by and mess me up on the inside. That's his plan, to derail my life, to mess me up on the inside and to break my spirit. A winner says, you will not mess me up on the inside, you will not break my spirit. Okay? The enemy's plan is to distract me from succeeding by trying to turn my focus from prospering to having a what? A pity party. I will not give in to that pity party. I'm going to prosper in my life. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about prospering in my attitude, my demeanor, my spirit. Number three, and what is prospering? Back to what we talked about last week. Prospering is really serving others. It's being humble. It's being obedient. And it's being a finisher. Okay? That's prospering. But he wants to knock you off course and distract you. Number three, he wants to discredit me in my own mind. The enemy wants to discredit me in my own mind. What do I mean? By trying to convince me that I am powerless, that I have no hope. How many felt like you had no hope before in your life? Just no hope. There's no way out. There's no hope. And no future. How many can say in this audience today, you had no hope and you had no future, but now you know it was a lie and you have hope and you have a future? Can we show the people that's hurting that there is a future? You hear me now? Are you listening? That's a lie. Is it hard? Yes. Is it easier to whine and stay in it? Yes. But you have hope and you have a future. But he wants to discredit you, not just among other folk, in your own mind. Number four, he wants to cause dysfunction in my spirit. What do I mean? By trying to paralyze me, say those words with me, with fear and anxiety. See, if he can get me paralyzed, neutralized. And what will do that? Fear. An anxious spirit. Nervousness. Stress. And boy, I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. I've had the fear. I've had the stress, the nervousness. I know, guys. And that's what keeps you from finishing. We see it in football, don't we, coach? Where another team can get you afraid, fearful, and knocked down, and you can't even finish the game. Oh, you're out there in your body, but you're not even finishing, are you? That's what the enemy wants to do to us in our life. Now, what can I do, Pastor? I love this part. This is the what can I do, Pastor. Okay, here we go. It's not long. Here we go. Verse 8 was the devil's your adversary. He wants to destroy your life. That's right here. But verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Okay? You humble yourself under the hand of mighty God, and let's just see if you ain't going to be making you a comeback. You hearing me? Think that way. Casting all your care, all your stress, all your anxiety upon him, for he what? He cares for you. Oh, this enemy wants to destroy you as a plan. But let me tell you something. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. You can make it and you can be a winner. You do not have to be a whiner. Okay? You got to think that way. Verse 9, after verse 8 about the devil. Whom resists steadfast. Say steadfast with me. One more time. Whom resist what? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, the same things you're whining about, are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. I can't tell you the number of people, and I didn't receive it good when you said it, but I can't tell you the number of people that came up during my struggle and said, that happened to me. 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 I was at a window the other night at Wendy's. The manager, are you here, sir? Manager Wendy's, are you here in the building? Let's talk about him. Here we go. He's a good guy. He's been coming to fellowship. I don't even know him. I've shook his hand. I've hugged his neck, maybe. But I saw him at the window. And he said, My wife and I are so excited about coming to your wedding. And then he said these words, that happened to me. The pastor life gets better. That's what that verse is teaching. We can whine or we can know that these same things have happened to others in the world. It doesn't make it any easier knowing that, but it does help me know if they made it, I can make it. Do you see? But you'll never know that if you just keep whining. Have I lost you this morning? A winner, man. That's what I want to be. How do I be a winner? How can I be a winner? You resist the devil with this word. Say it with me again. Steadfastness. I want us to learn what that word means. I know it's a little late. We'll be fine. Come on. What you going to do? Go out and get in the rain? Here we go. Listen. Steadfastness. A firm, unwavering, unchanging, unflinching determination. Can we say it like that? I mean, it's going to take you a while because I know y'all timid and everything. Here we go. Come on. A firm, unwavering, unchanging, unflinching determination. See, that's how you're going to resist the devil. That's how you're going to resist whining. That's how you're going to be a winner. That old word right there. Steadfastness. Not a word we use much. That's the old King James. That's a good word right there, Bubba. Come on. Here we go. A firm, unwavering, unchanging, unflinching. Do y'all remember when I started my little journey back? The message was called Making It. And the first message out of the series was called, I was in a what? A pit. Y'all remember? I remember messages and I would point to that crack up yonder in that wall. See that crack way up top? And I way down here. I below him. I way down here. But I would look sometimes and I'd preach and I'd say, one day I'm going to be up there where that crack is up yonder. That don't make me some fancy fella. Others have done what I am doing. I don't want to be a whiner. I want to be a winner. You understand? Then you can't. You got to have an unchanging, unflinching determination that I will not be known as a whiner. I will not be. I will not be. I will not be known as a whiner, and I will not be that to myself above everything else. I will not be that to me. Because life happens and problems happen and stuff happens, but that's life. But I still have Jesus, which is everything. Amen. Come on. Steadfastness. Steadfastness. That those scriptures talk about having faith in God. I have faith in God. I know that what I'm going through, others have already gone through, and they have succeeded, say it with me, so I will. And what is succeeding? Finishing. 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 Hey, God, I would like it to have been said of my life that, boy, Clark's life was just perfect and the marriage perfect and it just went for 70 years. I would have liked that. I would have liked a higher score. But for me, it's not about the score. It can't be. If it is about the score, then I lost. But if it's about winning, it's about finishing, that's what it's really about, then I'm a winner. You see what I'm saying? Those things can really screw your thinking up. I am a winner, not a what? And we're almost done, aren't we, Raj? I hope, brother. You write long messages. Here we go. We got to get verse 10 in. If you don't know it today, we've studied 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 10. And some Philippians. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, He will make you perfect or complete or mature. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. Wow. That's great. We like verse 10, but you got to get to those other things before that before you get that one. Amen? Being a winner is going to take some work. The God of all grace, that's who He is. God is not called the God of all grace, who has all grace for me, and His grace is sufficient in my weakness. Listen, He has not called me to be a whiner. He's called me to be a winner. And listen, He's called me unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's who He's called me to be. Regardless of what I go through, regardless of what I face, and that's for you, friend. He wants to shine through my life. And to a lost world, He shines brighter through suffering and making it. You know it's the truth, right? I will suffer and I will face struggles. It's inevitable, but this verse teaches me with God's help, look, with God's help, I will grow into maturity. Though these problems come and though life happens and stuff happens, listen, with God's help, I will grow into maturity. Instead of whining, I'll be a winner. I'm going to be more mature. I will be what? And since my name's Gary, I've made them all G's. Here we go. I will grow. I will be grounded. Listen, you know, how many trouble came into your life and it was horrible? What happened to you is so horrible. But you became stronger. And things that happened to you in the future didn't shake you as bad. Can I see it? Because you'd already been shook. You'd already been shook and you made it! So this, how many now, some of the struggles you face are monumental in other people's lives, but in your life, they're like, because you've struggled so much. Can I see your hand? That's it. Come on. I will what? Gain strength, the Bible says. And then finally, oh my, are you kidding me? See, this is why I don't want to be a whiner. Whiners never have any peace until they see tears coming out of people's eyes after they told their story. What about when you go home? I'll be glad and at peace. That's the Apostle Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished course. I kept the faith. Amen? But it won't easy. But I'm a winner. Did you get the message today? Say it with me. Would you say it loud? Loud. I am a winner! Amen. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Come on. I love this message.